Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
Julie, you've been camping before, right?
Yes, I have.
So you know the deal. Leave no trace, right? Leave nothing behind. You bring in all your stuff, whether you're bringing in a backpack or a whole truckload of camping equipment. You need to leave with only your things, taking only memories with you, and leaving no litter behind, right?
What?
I mean, that's the way it works.
You don't just bury all your pots and pans and then mark it?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, okay, if you're coming back to the same camping place, maybe you could make that argument. But
Okay. I see a concept that you're coming up here with.
But the whole idea is that we want to be able to come back to that place and enjoy it in its natural form without having to put up with a bunch of litter and a bunch of garbage changing that environment. Now, we generally don't have to worry, though, about that pot or pan that Julie left behind at the campsite traveling at immense speeds, like 5 miles per second, and smashing through my cranium.
Right, clocking us in the head. I mean, that's just not a problem here at our campsites on Earth. But out there in the wild yonder, it is a problem, right? Which is directly tied to this idea of this big sky theory, right?
Right. The big sky theory, I mean, the answer is in the words there. Big sky. There's a lot of sky. There's a lot of space. It's huge. We couldn't possibly litter enough to make space junk a problem, right? That was the old way of looking at it. If you have a space mission, go up there, solar panel floats off. No big deal. There's plenty of room. Some nuts and bolts fall out of my pockets. No big deal. Satellite's dead. Just leave it. This big sky theory. We can just leave everything wherever it happens to die.
So
and
vast.
It'll never be a problem.
It'll never come home to roost, this problem of space junk. But it is a problem, and it has come home to roost. NASA has tracked around 16,000 bits of debris. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Measuring over 10 centimeters, about 4 inches. But there are millions of smaller bits and pieces that are thought to be swarming up in the cosmos.
And the more we involve ourselves in orbit and in outer space, the more stuff we wind up with up there. Like, just to look at sort of the timeline for this, if we look back at 2005, we had a catalog of debris up there, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 pieces. And that's just stuff that we were tracking and knew of specifically. By 2010, that number had reached 15,000. So it had risen by 5,000 pieces of space junk in just that short amount of time. And fast forward to today, you have more and more players in the space game, involving themselves in the space game, and taking that big sky approach to space exploration.
Well, especially when you get into the privatized territory as well, right? This becomes a real issue. The other issue is that space junk travels at speeds up to 17,500 miles per hour. So that's fast enough for a tiny piece of debris to damage a satellite or a spacecraft. It's a really big concern. Or the International Space Station, which we will talk about later.
Mm-hmm. Can potentially set up a chain reaction where you have one piece is suddenly crashing into another, and which causes debris to spiral out from that to hit other pieces. In many cases, we're talking about dead objects hitting other pieces of garbage. But then what happens when this stuff collides with operative telecommunications satellites or exploratory missions or manned missions? You can see where this becomes a very dangerous problem very quickly.
That's something called cascading collisions, this idea that things are slamming into each other and just creating more and more and more debris. So this has come home to roost, and let's talk about back in the day, back in the 70s, when this was just a theory, and a guy named Donald Kessler, who was assigned to the Environmental Effects Project Office at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, became very interested in the craft that was abandoned in the void.
Yeah, he wrote an important paper at the time. It's become more important over time.
Yeah.
Originally, he was having to really sort of shout on the mountain to get people to listen to him. But he wrote a paper called Collision Frequency of Artificial Satellites, The Creation of a Debris Belt. And his argument was that if we, and this is early on, everyone else seems to be sticking to this big sky theory.
Mm-hmm.
But Kessler says, look, if we don't start controlling this now, if we don't start mitigating the problem now, we are going to reach a point where we basically have a belt of debris around the planet. If you've ever seen the movie WALL-E, the depictions of Earth in that, in which the Earth is just so crowded with satellites that for anything to enter or exit the Earth's atmosphere, they have to sort of move things out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what he's talking about, except in his scenario, we reach a point with that to where we are stranded on Earth, basically. We are suddenly limited by what we can do and what we can explore in space. We kind of dig our own grave, if you will, by just clotting our atmosphere with all of this junk.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not our atmosphere, but our upper orbit.
Right, right. I mean, it does constrain our ability to explore the universe because it's kind of hard to launch something and then know that it's going to be taken out by a stray piece of space junk. But he was basically saying, look, I estimate this to happen in 30 to 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was alarming. It really was an eye-opener, even though people like Arthur C. Clarke, who actually conceived of communication satellites, had talked about this in the 40s, I believe. It was really Kessler who spent the time looking out at the cosmos and looking through his telescope and saying, okay, guys, this is
a real possibility.
This was a bigger problem than we thought. So as a result...
Now, Clark, his vision of it was very apocalyptic. He was talking about like a new dark age.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was actually saying that it would take civilization down to the studs.
Yeah, and you know, he's fictioning it up a little bit, but maybe not too much, you know?
But that is the idea extrapolated to the nth degree, right? You can take down island communication satellites and, you know, all this sort of technology that we deal with today and our life is predicated on, and you could really sort of fold up humanity in this sense. But we're not there. I do want to say that NASA set up the Orbital Debris Program Office in response to Kessler's paper. But I'm not going to say it was a toothless organization, but it didn't really seem like a big concern. It was like, oh, yeah, this could happen. It's a theory. Let's throw some
money at it, set up a committee. And, I mean, you know how that goes.
Yeah. And the guidelines, they didn't really help to actually reduce space waste. So here we are 30 years later, right on time, 2009, we have a couple of events that really usher in this idea that Kessler didn't just have a theory, it is a syndrome.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called Kessler syndrome.
Yeah, February 10th, 2009, we had two satellites, Iridium 33, which was flying north, relaying a phone conversations. And then there was this long-retired Russian communication satellite called Cosmos 2251.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tumbling east in an uncontrolled orbit. So you have an active satellite and an inactive satellite, and then they collide. And this was not even a collision that was on the forecast. Because at this time, we knew some of the stuff that was going on up there, and we can sort of extrapolate what might run into what at what time. But this wasn't even scheduled to happen, if you will. They just ram into each other, and of course, just completely annihilate each other
and
create all these other pieces of debris.
Right. They smash into something like 2,100 pieces, and This is over the Siberian tundra. And although it doesn't really affect us too much, I mean, I think there's some drop calls from this one collision, right? The fact of the matter is, again, this debris, this cloud of debris was created. And we know that that begets even more and more debris. And it was a big wake-up call. And according to Wired.com, Evan L. Schwartz, great article on this, he said that each shard, an orbiting cannonball capable of destroying yet another hunk of high-priced hardware. That's the real problem there.
Yeah, I mean, immense expense going into any of these satellites, communications, or otherwise. So the idea that you just have junk up there that could conceivably just wipe it out.
Mm-hmm.
People suddenly started taking even more notice following this 2009 event.
Yep, so pretty soon a military unit called the Space Surveillance Network was set up. They began to monitor the debris. By 2010, they were looking at 1,000 active satellites, 3,700 inactive satellites and rocket pieces, and another 15,300 objects the size of a fist or larger. And these numbers started to bear out this idea that we could have maybe 75 collisions a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't include the 500,000 smaller pieces of debris the size of a marble or larger, all of which is, again, capable of just wiping out satellites or, you know, other things that are very valuable to us.
Another key incident that happened, and this was just a few months after the Cosmos Iridium collision.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine most of you remember this. I remember it because working here at How Stuff Works, and anything newsy and sciencey that happens, we suddenly latch onto a bit. And this was big news because 2009, suddenly there's an object, a piece of space junk, headed towards the International Space Station.
Yeah.
So this is an immensely expensive piece of equipment here. We're talking in excess of $100 billion worth of equipment, human beings on board,
right.
A lot invested in this. This is part of our space legacy moving forward. And there's a piece of junk headed towards it that could conceivably wipe it all out. So we have to rush everybody on board into essentially a lifeboat. One of
it's
the
kind of like
capsules.
A panic room.
Right, yeah. Because they're like, all right, it might miss us, but it might hit you. And if it hits us, we're going to have to somehow save you guys. So get into this lifeboat,
mm-hmm.
and we'll just see what happens. Now, luckily, it missed by a few miles. Which,
but it's still in the vastness of space. I mean,
right,
that's like shaving
call.
Off a little piece of hair on your head there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a couple months after that, another piece of space junk hurled toward the International Space Station, this time missing them by just a mile. And this fragment would have had an impact equal to a truck bomb. In fact, I've got a quote here from Jack Bacon. He's a senior NASA scientist. He says, a 10-centimeter sphere of aluminum would be like 7 kilograms of TNT. It would blow everything to smithereens.
I mean, we can shield these things to a certain degree. There's a project at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston where they basically take chunks of plastic and basically space junk, and they just fire them at shields and panels to see exactly what the damage is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to determine within a certain size of space junk, they can sort of shield something out. But when you're getting into these larger pieces, it becomes increasingly impossible to create a space vessel or a satellite that could withstand that kind of damage.
Right, right.
Especially when you're talking about delicate material such as solar cells.
Yeah, and just to give everybody an idea, too, I mean, we're talking, again, I think you talked about this, some tools or some nuts and bolts,
mm-hmm.
that kind of space junk, to the size of rocket stages, the size of school buses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's an immense variety of space junk up there.
Now, one might ask, doesn't all this stuff eventually just fall into the Earth's atmosphere and burn up? Because that was part of the big sky theory as well, that, all right, if we leave something up there, A, it's not going to be a problem, and B, it's eventually just going to drift down and reenter the Earth's atmosphere and probably burn up and or land in the middle of nowhere, or more likely in the middle of the ocean somewhere, which is what most reentering space junk does. Occasionally,
right.
Something will fall in somebody's backyard,
mm-hmm.
and it's a local news story, front page for the next 5 years. But for the most part, yes, that's true. It just falls in the middle of nowhere. But it can take decades for something in orbit to actually reenter the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
which is why you still have some of the original satellites that went up there. I mean, they're all still up there.
Right.
Dead,
well, and again,
and floating.
And not all of them burn up upon reentry, right? Because it depends on the size.
Right, right. Depends on the size.
A rocket stage the size of a school bus isn't necessarily going to burn up there. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about this idea of how we can contain space junk and getting our janitorial services up there and taking care of it.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astepro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can get Astepro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, we're back. I want to throw out another quick fact. This is from the Wired article you mentioned earlier. But 1962, that's when the Telstar 1 satellite relayed the first phone call and TV signals across the Atlantic and ended up failing the next year. So 1963, this thing dies. It's still up there, just up there, doing nothing, just a big piece of space junk floating around. And in the decades since, of course, we've rolled out more and more stuff. Just to give you a little idea about how we end up with that huge number of 15,000 Well, now it's up to 16,000 pieces of space junk.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really hard to actually keep tabs on anyway, because as we talked about, it's, you know, you have some particles that are so small that you can't even really gauge them or track them, I should say.
Another incident that kind of woke everyone up to the dangers and the problems posed by space junk. January 11, 2007, the Chinese government staged this demonstration of its military might by basically shooting down, or not really shooting down, but blowing up one of its retired satellites with something called a kinetic kill vehicle. So to demonstrate that they had the potential to take out a satellite, which in a military scenario would be very valuable. These satellites are keys to telecommunication networks, to our ability to get strategic information about what an enemy is doing, and they were demonstrating, yes, we can take these out. satellite killing technology. I mean, that's been on the military playlist for some time now. Mm-hmm. But they demonstrate this. They blow up this old satellite. Big deal, right? They're just shooting some junk in the backyard. There are people out in the sticks that do that every day. Uh-huh. But when they shot this thing, it blasted it into 3,000 trackable pieces. That's just trackable pieces, but 3,000. So one military demonstration later, that number that we have, that tally of measurable space junk up there rises by 3,000 pieces.
Yeah, I mean, it was a total jerk move. I mean, it's really irresponsible knowing what we know to a certain degree now. Mm-hmm. But the problem with this is only 6% of the pieces have re-entered the atmosphere. And here's the interesting thing. Half of those pieces came down in the last 12 months. And this has to do with increased solar activity, which normally we kind of, it's not something we get really excited about in terms of like, yeah, increased solar activity. This idea of solar maximum or peak activity could actually be a boon to us in terms of cleaning up space junk.
Right. The sun, as we've mentioned before, is pumping out energy. It's pumping out energy at the Earth, and some of this is shielded by our electromagnetic field, but the rest of it actually reaches the Earth. Powers the Earth, gives us a lot of the stuff we need. And if we have all this space junk floating around out there, an increase in that solar activity can stir things up a bit.
Yeah, in fact, if we've got these solar flares and these coronal mass ejections, which, by the way, when I talk about this solar maximum, this peak activity is an 11-year period that is going to come to fruition in 2013, I believe, in terms of the ultimate amount of solar activity. So think of it as blasting the atmosphere with heat with these solar flares and coronal mass ejections, you know, sort of raining upon the Earth's atmosphere. This causes the atmosphere to expand. And this expansion pushes some of the gas to higher altitudes, which creates drag on orbiting space debris. That causes it to slow down. And then as the debris slows down, Earth's gravity pulls it to the lower altitudes where the atmosphere is even thicker. So then you get even more drag, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get slower debris. So eventually debris re-enters the atmosphere sooner than it would without the solar influence. And here's the good news. It burns up safely for the most part. So that's why we've seen such an influx of that Chinese satellite, of those pieces coming in. So there's this idea that the sun could actually be very helpful, at least until 2013, when it reaches its peak capacity or maximum output in that 11-year period, in helping us to keep tabs on this a bit.
Okay, so we're keeping tabs. We've been keeping tabs. Occasionally the sun might accidentally help out.
Yeah, sort of solar hoovering.
Yeah, but what else are we doing, right? That's the big question. We can exercise a little bit of forethought in the way we plan missions and moving forward, but there's still a lot of junk up there. What are we doing, if anything, to clean it up?
Well, there's something called the Swiss Janitor Satellite. This comes to us from the Swiss Space Center at EPFL, and it's the launch of the Clean Space One. This was back in February, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's a project that developed and built the first installment of a family of what they see as satellites that are specially designed to clean up space debris. And the idea is to launch a small grabber spacecraft to chase after orbiting pieces of space junk. And then it'll attach itself to it, deorbit, and the whole enchilada then re-enters the atmosphere where it burns up on reentry.
There are a few other plans, too, that involve basically microsatellites or mini-satellites that go around and essentially net this stuff up.
Yeah.
And kind of form, like, not really a Katamari ball, but they form a nice big sack of space trash and then bring it back to the atmosphere to reenter. Another tactic that we've been using is making sure that we take retiring spacecraft up to a graveyard orbit so that we know they're going out of commission. Well, let's move them into an orbit where they're not going to be interfering with anything that's actually active.
Okay, so just sort of pushing it away from us a little bit more. Yeah.
Right. In the same way that you move your junk car into the backyard as opposed to leaving it in the front yard.
It's still there. You just can't see it from the street.
Right, right.
House values go up. There's this idea of using little puffs of gas that I kind of like. It's just from a team from the University of Michigan. And they're thinking about using pulses of gas fired into the path of debris. And this would increase, again, the drag on orbiting space junk, leaving it to plunge downward into the Earth's atmosphere. And the pulses themselves would leave no trace. So there we go, our Boy Scouts credo there. And it also leaves no solid material in orbit.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gaginianaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Another really interesting tactic that NASA was pretty excited about comes from Tethers Unlimited. This is a Seattle area space contractor, and they've been working on this idea for years. But their idea is to create this thing called a Rustler, which is a mid-sized vehicle, about 400 pounds, and it piggybacks a ride on other satellites. So so the idea here is, let's cut some corners. It'll just hitch a ride with some sort of big pricey corporate or national supported telecommunication satellite launch or mission launch. And then once up there, it's aimed to pull off this really neat tethering technique. So it goes into orbit and it sidles up to this piece of space junk and it attaches an electrodynamic tether. This is a wire mesh tail that's up to 6 miles long. And then it shoots an amp of current through that material. And this current interacts with the Earth's magnetic field, producing a drag effect that lowers the debris toward the atmosphere and reentry.
Yeah, and that one's really cool because that seems pretty promising in the perspective of gathering up debris, but not only that, just being able to afford it. I think that was estimated somewhere in the tens of millions, whereas some of the other ideas and projects, we're talking in the billions.
Yeah, they're saying this one would, just to do a test mission, mind you, that would take out a few tons of trash would be tens of millions of dollars, which again puts this whole problem into perspective. Like so many problems that humans get themselves into on a personal or national scale, you don't work on a problem early enough, it ends up costing you far more later on. And it reaches a point where you have to either pay that bill or just be content with sticking where you are.
Well, and this is that kind of problem too. It's just like your house. Like, you don't necessarily want to put all your money into, you know, redoing the roof, but you have to, right? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you're going to be exposed to the elements. But that's not the cool thing you see from the street. Same thing with NASA. It's like, that's not our flashy, cool stuff, but we really do need to take care of the space junk. The problem is that they don't necessarily have a gigantic budget in the first place, and it's certainly not something that they have dedicated to this problem. In the 2011 budget, from last year, they started the $400,000 research grants to try to look into this. And that idea that you just talked about was in there and very viable. So it's just a question of when and how many dollars they're going to lay down here. And then it's a question of exponential numbers here. Again, this is from Evan L. Schwartz. He says, and this is the Wired article, Waste Management. He says, its proliferation, space junk, threatens not only current and future space missions, but also global communications, mobile phone networks, satellite television, radio broadcasts, weather tracking, military surveillance, even the dashboard GPS devices that keep us from getting lost. The number of manufactured objects cluttering the sky is now expected to double every few years as large objects weaken and split apart, and new collisions create more Kesslerian debris, leading to yet more collisions. So it's kind of a runaway environment here.
Yeah, and like we said before, it affects modern life on so many levels. I mean, telecommunications, certainly space exploration, but national security, just, again, our entire telecommunications network has grown to depend on these satellites. Now, you could argue, I guess, that if we had a completely garbaged up orbit, if we had this debris belt going on, then it would be harder for, say, like a vampire spaceship to drift into our atmosphere and cause problems, or the head of a planet-sized transformer. you know, good luck getting into our junked-up atmosphere and causing trouble for the denizens of Earth. But on the other hand, we might be trapped in this dark age that Clark warned us about.
It's possible, but I mean, I think that the fact that it's come to life and it's now a priority and that people are realizing that space junk may drop in your backyard if it's not under control pretty soon is a problem.
Yeah, and if I know anything about the human species, once we know that there's a problem and we know that we've been causing it, we are really good about fixing it and addressing it. So I think you're right. Let's be optimistic about this.
Okay. Now you're just being facetious. Let's just put that out there on the line. All right, so there you go. Space junk. Let's work on it. Let's come up with some ideas.
All right. I'm going to have the robot stay in his closet right now and not bring us out any of our listener mail. So he has a bunch of it. And I'm just going to mention two quick things. First of all, the Stuff to Blow Your Kids' Mind video series. It is live. We are linking to it. By the time you hear this, it will have been live for a week or so. Check it out. 10 episodes. In each episode, Julie and I tackle a different science experiment that you and or your child can try at home. We will walk you through the basics of these different scientific properties, ranging from volcanism to magnetism. We just go through it from the personal perspective in the experiment through the larger world-based experience, and then discuss how this connects us to the cosmos. So the idea is, as the title suggests, to blow your kid's mind or blow the mind of the child in you. So check it out. We're really proud of it and think it's a fine product. Also, if you have really cool photos that you have taken, something that blows your mind that it exists or exists in the way that you captured it on film, share that with the world. Check out the Stuff to Blow Your Mind photo contest. It's an upload tool. You can upload your cool photo under various categories, including stuff like gross and awesome. Upload that stuff. Vote on your and other images. You might even get to win an iPad.
What?
Yeah.
Can I upload something?
No. Well, no, you can upload something, just don't expect to win.
All right.
Yeah. But still, I mean, the fun thing about it is seeing these images. And
They're very cool, actually.
Yeah. As of this recording, it's in its early stages, so there's still a lot of images coming in, and I check it out every day because I'm excited to see what kind of stuff is going to show up there.
There's some really funny stuff showing up as well.
Yes.
I mean, not just stuff that'll, like, knock your socks off, make you reevaluate, you know, reality around you, but some good animal fun LOL stuff.
Yeah, and if you upload something onto that feature that is related to a podcast that we've recorded, share it on our Facebook account, and we'll throw some votes at it. We'll spread the word. So if you want to find us on Facebook, we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on there. Just search for it there. And if you want to find us on Twitter, we are Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.